After more than 200 years, American democracy is in dire need of repair. That is the theory of Washington Post columnist Danielle Allen, who says tackling the country's biggest problems like economic inequality, gun violence, and the climate crisis will require bringing democracy into the 21st century. Danielle is a political philosopher at Harvard University and author of the book Democracy in the Time of Coronavirus, and she joins us now. Danielle, welcome.
Hi, Peter. Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
And we're glad to have you. And you're using your column in the Washington Post all year to explore this idea of a democracy renovation. And you call the crisis that we're facing as a country the great pulling apart. What do you mean by that?
That's right. Well, over the course of my lifetime, we have seen this incredible rise in income inequality. We have seen an incredible rise in polarization. We've seen the incredible rise of incarceration. My own family is one where in my parents' generation, every generation came up. Folks started out working class or lower middle class, and everybody moved up to solidly middle class. But for my generation, that hasn't been true. You know, it has been a great pulling apart. Here I sit as a tenured professor at Harvard. I have a brother who's a corporate executive. But I also have dead cousins, and not in a way that I can feel at peace about. So homicide and substance use disorder. And I have cousins whose lives have been marred by incarceration and mental illness without access to needed health resources. So we have, in my family, directly experienced this sort of great pulling apart. Some have had amazing opportunity and others have been trapped. The country as well has experienced that. And I think a lot of our current fighting or toxicity reflects that. So I believe it's time for us to figure out how to pull together in a 21st century way, a new way. It's not about going back. It's about going forward, but that's the job at hand.
And that is the point of your writing in this year. Now, you've also described a red alert moment where all of this really hit home for you, and that was in 2013 when the approval rating for Congress hit a historic low of 9%. Why did that alarm you so much?
You've got to remember that the first branch of government is the legislature. The whole idea of constitutional democracy is that you have a body of assembled people who synthesize the will of the people, who represent the voice of the people. So if Congress has an approval rating of 9%, that means the people approves of its own voice at the rate of 9%. That means the thing's broken. So since then, I've been working on renovation.
You want to fix it, right? And one of your changes that you suggest is starting with the House of Representatives. You want to make it much bigger. Why?
Exactly. I mean, the House was always supposed to grow. James Madison, his first amendment in the Bill of Rights was actually an amendment with a formula for growing the House. And the House did grow continually for the first century or so of our existence. We capped it in 1929. It was really a sort of de facto capping. There was a congressional act that set the number at 435, and we've been on autopilot since then. So that means the House doesn't have the same responsiveness to the changing demographics of the country. It doesn't have the same elasticity and flexibility that it's supposed to have.
But why would making the House bigger break the gridlock or make it more productive?
Well, in the very beginning, the ratio between constituents and members of Congress was 30,000 to 1. So that meant, you know, there was a realistic chance of knowing your representative or being just one degree of separation from your representative. Representatives had to be directly accountable to people that they knew. We're now getting close to about 750,000 people per representative, and we're going to hit 1 million by the middle of this century. So at this point, we're not in a position where representatives can be responsive and accountable to their constituents. So it's really about getting back to that closer connection to constituents, back to, you know, really direct work with constituents and direct accountability to constituents, to voters, rather than to special interests, to big donors and the like.
I hear you, but if part of the problem in Congress is division, wouldn't more representatives make it even more difficult for the House to pass any meaningful legislation because there would be so much opportunity for more factions to develop?
Well, the truth of the matter is, I think with more representatives, what you have is exactly, I mean, as you said, sort of more different potential lines of alliance and affiliation. And what you really need is more space for shifting coalitions, for movement, in order to get a space for problem solving.
When we started, you described this great pulling apart, not only in your own family, but of course across the country. What you're working towards is a great pulling together, just the opposite, right? So what would it take to accomplish a significant reversal like that?
Well, a healthy democracy requires a virtuous circle linking healthy political institutions, healthy civil society associations and organizations, and a healthy civic culture. That means we've got to reform institutions so that they're responsive and inclusive. In civil society, we need associations that help people bridge difference and give them access to high-quality information. We also need to work on our civic culture and develop a sense of a shared commitment to each other and to our constitutional democracy. That's about civic education.
Daniel Allen is a political philosopher at Harvard University and a contributing columnist to the Washington Post. We're going to link you to her columns calling for a democracy rehab at hereandnow.org. Danielle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Peter.